13. I have to accept their rules, Wax thought, crossing the room to the informant. They're different, no matter what Steris says, but I do know them. He'd decided to stay in the basin and do what he could here. He'd seen the dangers on the streets of Ellendale and had worked to fight them, but those were a lesser wound. It was like patching the cut while the rot festered up the arm. Chasing down the Set's lesser minions, they probably wanted him doing those things. If he was going to protect the people, he was going to have to gun for more important targets. That meant keeping his temper, and it meant dancing and playing nice. It meant doing all the things his parents and even his uncle had tried to teach him. Wax stopped near the alcove the informant, Devlin, occupied. The man was watching the nearby fish tank, which stood beneath a depiction of Tyndwill, mother of Terrace, perched on the walls during her last stand against the darkness. In the tank, tiny octopuses moved across the glass. After a moment's waiting, the informant nodded toward him. Wax approached and rested his arm against the glass of the tank beside Devlin, a short, handsome man with a hint of hair on his upper lip and chin.
I expected you to be arrogant, Devlin noted.
What makes you think that I'm not?
You waited, Devlin said.
An arrogant man can still be polite, Wax said. Devlin smiled.
I suppose he can be, Lord Waxillium.
One of the little octopuses seized a passing fish in its tentacles and dropped from the side of the tank, holding the squirming fish and pulling it up toward its beak.
They don't feed them, Devlin noted, for a week or so before a party. They like the show they provide.
Brutal, Wax said.
Lady Kelesina imagines herself the predator, he said, and we, all her fish, invited in to swim and perhaps be consumed.
Devlin smiled.
Of course, she doesn't see that she's in a cage as well.
You know something about that cage? Wax asked.
It's the cage we're all in, Lord Waxillium. This basin that Harmony created for us. So perfect, so lush. Nobody leaves.
I did.
To the roughs, Devlin said, dismissive. What's beyond them, Waxillium? Beyond the deserts, across the seas. Nobody cares.
I've heard it asked before.
And has anyone put up the money to find the answers?
Wax shook his head.
People can ask questions, Devlin said, but where there is no money, there are no answers.
Wax found himself chuckling, to which Devlin responded with a modest nod. He had developed a subtle way of explaining that he needed to be paid to give information.
Oddly, despite the immediate and somewhat crass demand, Wax found himself more comfortable here than he'd been with Lord Gave.
Wax fished in his pocket and held out the strange coin. Money, he said. I have an interest in money.
Devlin took it, then cocked an eyebrow.
If someone could tell me how this could be spent, Wax noted, I would be enriched. Really, we all would be.
Devlin turned it over in his fingers. Though I've never seen the exact image on this one, coins like these have been moving with some regularity through black market antiquities auctions. I've been baffled as to why. There is no reason to keep them secret, and it would not be illegal to sell them in the open.
He flipped the coin back to Wax. He caught it with surprise.
You didn't expect me to answer so frankly, Devlin said. Why do people so often ask questions when they're not expecting answers?
Do you know anything else? Wax asked.
Gave bought a few, Devlin said, then immediately stopped, and the pieces he purchased are no longer on display in his home.
Wax nodded thoughtfully and dug into his pocket for some money to offer the informant.
Not here, Devlin said, rolling his eyes. 100. Send a note of transfer to your bank and have them move it to my account.
You'd trust me? Wax asked. Lord Waxillium, it's my job to know whom to trust.
It will be done, then, assuming you have a little more for me.
Whatever is being covered up, Devlin said, looking back toward the fish tank, a good quarter of the nobility in the city is embroiled in it. First I was curious. Now I'm terrified. It involves a massive building project to the northeast of here.
What kind of building project? Wax asked.
No way of knowing, Devlin said. Some farmers have seen it, claimed allomancers were involved. News died before it got here. Quashed. Smothered. Everything's been strange in New Saren lately. A murderer from the Ruffs showing up, attacking the homes of rich Metalborn. Then you come to a party.
This project to the northeast, Wax said. Allomancers?
I don't have anything more on it, Devlin said, then tapped the fish tank, trying to frighten one of the little octopuses.
What about the explosion a few weeks back? Wax asked. The one in the city.
An attack by this murderer from the Ruffs, they say.
Do you believe them?
It didn't kill any Metalborn, Devlin said.
None that you know of, Wax thought. Where did hemallergy fit into all of this?
Devlin stood and nodded to Wax, extending a hand as if in farewell.
That's it? Wax asked.
Yes.
Steep price for so little, Wax said, taking the hand.
Devlin leaned in, speaking softly. Then let me give you a bit more. What you're involved in is dangerous, more than you can imagine. Get out. That's what I'm doing.
I can't, Wax said as Devlin pulled back.
I know you, lawman, Devlin said, and I can tell you the group you chase, you don't need to worry about them. They won't be a danger for decades, perhaps centuries. You're ignoring the bigger threat.
Which is? Wax asked.
The rest of the people in this room, Devlin said. The ones not involved in your little conspiracy. The ones who care only about how their cities are being treated.
Pardon, Wax said, but they don't seem like nearly the same level of danger to me.
Then you aren't paying attention, Devlin said. Personally, I'm curious to find out how many lives the Basin's first civil war claims. Good day, Lord Ladrian.
He walked away, snapping his fingers as he passed a few people. One of them scuttled off to follow him. Wax found himself growling softly. First that woman during the dancing, now this fellow. Wax felt like he was being jerked around on the end of someone's string. What had he even found out? Confirmation that artifacts were being sold? So someone else had found the place that Relur had evanotyped?
A building project, Wax thought. Allomancers.
Civil war. Feeling cold, Wax moved back through the crowd. He rounded a group of people, noting that Steris was gone from their table, though she'd finished his cup of sweetened soda water before leaving. He turned and started through the crowd looking for her. That, by chance, brought him unexpectedly face to face with a statuesque woman with her hair in a bun and a ring on each finger.
"Why, Lord Waxillium," Kalasina said, waving for her companions to withdraw, leaving her alone with Wax. "I was hoping to get a chance to speak with you."
He felt an immediate spike of panic, which he shot in the head and dumped in a lake. He would not be intimidated by one of Suit's lackeys, no matter how wealthy or influential.
"Lady Shores," he said, taking her hand, and shaking it rather than kissing it.
He might not be in the Ruffs, but he didn't intend to take his eyes off his enemy.
"I hope you've been enjoying the party," she said. "The main address is about a half hour away. You might find it of note. We've invited the mayor of Bilming himself to speak.
I'll be certain to get you a transcript to bring back to your peasant governor so that you needn't worry about memorizing the details.
That's very courteous of you.
I...
she began. Rusts, he was tired of letting someone else steer his conversation tonight. Have you seen Lord Garve? Wax interrupted.
I insulted him by accident earlier. I wish to make amends.
Garve,
Calasina said.
Don't mind him, Waxilium. He's hardly worth the bother.
Still, Wax said, I feel like I'm wearing blocks of concrete on my feet and trying to dance. Every step I take, I smash somebody's toes. Rusts, I'd hope that people down here wouldn't be as touchy as they are in Ellendale.
She smiled. The words seemed to put her at ease, as if she were getting from him exactly what she expected.
Use that, Wax told himself. But how?
This woman had decades worth of experience moving in social circles. Steris could opine all she wanted about his virtues, but he'd spent years doing target practice instead of attending parties. How could he expect to match these people at their own game?
I'm sorry to see you didn't bring your associate, Calasina said.
Wayne? Wax asked, genuinely incredulous.
Yes. I've had letters regarding him from friends in Ellendale. He seems so colorful.
That's one way to put it, Wax said. Pardon, Lady Calasina, but I'd sooner bring my horse to a party. It's better behaved.
She laughed.
You are a charmer, Lord Waxilium.
This woman was guilty as sin, and he knew it. He could feel it. He did the next part by instinct. He pulled the coin from his pocket and held it up.
Maybe you can answer something for me, he said, and realized he'd started to let a rough's accent slip into his voice.
Thanks for that, Wayne.
I was given this outside. By mistake, I think. I asked some folks in here about it, and some of them got so pale in the face I'd have thought they'd been shot.
Calasina froze.
Now, personally, Wax said, flipping it over, I think it has to do with those rumors of what's happening out northeast. Big dig in the ground, I'll bet. Well, I figure this must be from that. Relic from the old days. Mighty interesting, eh?
Don't be taken in by those rumors, Lord Waxilium, she said. After stories circulated, people began coining things like those in the city to sell to the gullible.
Is that so? Wax said, trying to sound disappointed. That's a shame. It sounded really interesting to me.
He pocketed the coin as the band started another song.
Care for a dance?
Actually, she said, I promised the next one already. Can I find you later, Lord Waxilium?
Sure, sure, he said, then gave her a nod as she withdrew.
He stepped back to his table, watching her move pointedly through the crowd with frightened motions.
Was that Lady Calasina?
Steris said, joining him, holding another cup of the sweetened yellow drink.
Yep, Wax said.
I wasn't planning to talk to her until after the speech, Steris said, huffing. You've thrown off my entire timeline.
Sorry.
It will have to do. What did you discover from her?
Nothing, Wax said, still watching Lady Calasina as she met with some men in suits nearby.
She kept her face calm, but the curt way she motioned.
Yes, she sure was agitated. I told her what I'd discovered.
You... what?
I tipped her off that I was onto them, Wax said, though I had tried to act stupid. I don't know if she bought that part. Wayne's far better than I am at it. He's a natural, you see.
You've ruined it, then?
Maybe, Wax said. But then, if this were the roughs and I were confronting a criminal, but had no evidence, this is what I'd do. Let it slip that I was suspicious of them, then watch where they go.
Lady Calasina stalked from the hall, leaving one of the other men to give apologies. Wax could almost hear them. The lady has a matter of some urgency to take care of at the moment. She will return shortly. Steris followed his gaze.
10 notes says she's gone to contact suit, Wax said, and let him know that I'm on to them.
Ah,
Steris said. He nodded. I figured I couldn't out-talk her no matter how hard I tried. But she's not used to being chased by the law. She will make simple mistakes, one that even a rookie stagecoach robber would never make.
We'll need to follow her somehow.
That would be the plan, Wax said, drumming his fingers on the table. I may have to start a fight and get thrown out.
Lord Waxillium,
Stara said, then started fishing in her purse. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble thinking of something else. It was a weak plan, though. Getting thrown out would likely alert Kalasina. We need a distraction, an excuse to leave. Something believable, but not too disconcerting. What is that?
Steris had removed a small vial of something from her purse.
Syrup of ipecac and salt root, she said, to induce vomiting.
He blinked in shock.
But why?
I had assumed they might try to poison us, Steris said. Though I considered it only a small possibility, it's best to be prepared.
She laughed uncomfortably. Then she downed the whole thing. Wax reached for her arm, but too late. He watched in horror as she stoppered the empty vial and tucked it into her purse.
You might want to get out of the splash radius, so to speak.
But, Steris, he said, you'll end up humiliating yourself.
She closed her eyes.
Dear Lord Waxillium, earlier you spoke of the power of not caring about what others thought of you. Do you remember?
Yes.
Well, you see, she said, opening her eyes and smiling, I'm trying to practice that skill.
She proceeded to vomit all over the table. The digging continued, and Marcy passed the time reading inscriptions on gravestones. Wayne, for his part, had settled down on a grave with his back to the stone, as if it were the most natural thing in the world. As she passed to check on the progress, she found him rummaging in his pocket. A moment later, he pulled a sandwich out and started eating. When he saw Marcy staring at him, he held it toward her, wagging it to see if she wanted a bite. Feeling sick, she turned away from him and sought out more grave inscriptions. This was obviously the poorer section of the yard. Plots were close together, and the markers were small and simple. The mist wove between them, curling around her as she knelt beside a stone, wiped off the moss, and read the memorial left for a child buried here. Eliza Marin, 308-310. Ascend and be free. The steady sound of the gravedigger's shovel accompanied her as she moved between the graves. Soon she was too far from the light to make out the inscriptions. She sighed, turning, and found someone standing in the mists nearby. She practically jumped out of her shoes, but the shifting mists and the figure's too steady posture soon revealed this to be a statue. Marcy approached, frowning. Who had paid for a statue to be placed in the pauper's section of the graveyard? It was old, having sunken a foot or so on the right side as the ground shifted, tipping the statue askew. It was also masterly, an extraordinary figure cut of gorgeous black marble, standing some 8 feet tall and resplendent in a sweeping mist cloak. Marcy rounded it, and was not surprised to find a feminine figure with short hair and a petite, heart-shaped face. The ascendant warrior was here, settled among the graves of the impoverished and the forgotten. Unlike Kelsier's statue, which had loomed over those who passed beneath his gaze, this one seemed about to take flight, one leg raised, eyes toward the sky.
"For years I wanted to be you," Marcy whispered. "Every girl does, I suppose. Who wouldn't, after hearing the stories?"
She'd even gone so far as to join the ladies' target club because she figured if she couldn't push bits of metal around, a gun was the closest she could get.
"Were you ever insecure?" Marcy asked. "Or did you always know what to do? Did you get jealous? Frightened? Angry?"
If Vin had been an ordinary person at any point, the stories and the songs had forgotten. They proclaimed her the ascendant warrior, the woman who had slain the Lord Ruler. a mistborn and a legend who had carried the world itself upon her shoulders while Harmony prepared for divinity. She'd been able to kill with a glare, tease out secrets nobody else knew, and fight off armies of enraged Koloss all on her own. Extraordinary in every way. It was probably a good thing, or the world wouldn't have survived the War of Ash. But Rusts, she left a hell of a reputation for the rest of them to try to live up to. Marcy turned from the statue and crossed the springy ground back to Wayne and DeChamp. As she approached, the gravedigger climbed out and stuck his shovel into the earth, digging a flask from his pack and taking a protracted swig. Marcy peeked into the grave. He had made good time. The earth had been dug out of the hole 4 feet deep.
"Want to share that with a fellow?"
Wayne asked DeChamp, standing. DeChamp shook his head, screwing the lid back on his flask.
"Me gramps always said, never share your booze with a man who ain't shared his with you." "But that way, nobody'd share their booze with anybody." "No," DeChamp said. "It just means I get twice as much."
He rested his hand on his shovel, looking into the grave. Without the steady rhythm of his work, the graveyard was silent. They had to be close to the bodies now. The next part would be unpleasant, sorting through the corpses for one that was in pieces, then checking that to see if it contained a spike. Her stomach churned at the thought. Wayne took another bite of his sandwich, hesitated, and cocked his head. Then he grabbed Marcy under the arm and heaved, flipping her into the grave. The impact knocked the breath out of her. Gunfire sounded above a moment later.